listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the earth and the sky
in his hands.
He's got the night and the day
in his hands.
He's got the sun and the moon
in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole
world. Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone. Welcome aboard the kids' canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members, and welcome again to the Kids Canoe. Now, if you remember last time, we were talking about the Civil War, and we were talking about General Robert E. Lee. And one of the things that happened recently, and that's that the statues, the memorials, all these things that were dedicated to him have been removed, and they first were vandalized. And I'm looking at a slide of all these people who have wrote, the most horrible things on his monument. Well, one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is something that I learned through actually a Shakespeare play called Julius Caesar. Now, if you remember, Julius Caesar was declared a tyrant, and they actually executed him. In fact, that famous scene where it says, "Et tu, Brute," and Brutus actually stabbed him. And one of the things that happened afterwards is there was a great meeting about what had happened, and the people were cheering that he was finally dead. But then a guy named Mark Anthony got up, and he started a speech, and he said this, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do live on after them. The good is often interred with their bones." You see, people, we have to understand one thing about people. They're all sinners. Even if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're still going to continue to sin. Okay, so we have a big advantage because Jesus has forgiven our sins, past, present, and future. But one of the things is we have to understand that people are complex. For example, King David, who God said he was a man after my own heart, was an adulterer. He actually committed murder in causing Uriah the Hittite, the wife of Bathsheba, to be killed. So we see that people are complex. And, you know, it's amazing because we see this in American politics today. When someone's running for president or running for governor or whatever, the opposition always finds out every bad thing they can possibly find out about that person. They try to define them in the media as being this particular person, but we can't define people by the good things and we can't define them by the bad things. Basically, we have to define them in their role and their closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, Robert E. Lee said basically, Christian vocabulary should include that we should basically make sure that we're getting people to know Jesus Christ and rendering his love, because this is so important. And he had this little prayer that he used to say, and he said, "Help me to be, to think, to act what is right because it is right. Make me truthful, honest, and honorable in all things. Make me intellectually honest for the sake of right and honor without thought of reward to me from the..." This is listed in the Truman Library, and President Truman actually had this release prayer in his possession and used it many times to help him get through difficult times. So we have to understand that. And really, I think we have to understand this, and that we need to know our history of our country, and we need to know it from the perspective of a Christian. And that's one of the objectives that I have here on the radio. I want to present history to you in a way of using the glasses of the Bible, using the magnifying glass of a Bible, using the microscope of a Bible. And one of the things that happened to Robert E. Lee, and I think he was certainly a godly man and good Christian, basically they forgot all of that. They basically looked at that as nothing and just looked at the fact that he fought in the Civil War. So one of the things he said is after the war was over, he said this, "We fought the fight as long and as well as we know how. We have been defeated. For us as Christian people, there is now but one course to pursue. We must accept the situation. And so this pretty much ended the Civil War. And actually, although the slaves were freed, we'll find out that something occurred years later. And I got involved with that. And it was the Civil Rights Movement. But I want to read something to you that was really important. A group of people came to Jesus one day. And this is what happened. There were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans who Pilate had shed their blood. And one of the things Jesus answered and said, do you suppose that the Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So I think when we see the mistakes of others, we need to remember this. We better repent for our sins. And one of the things also that Jesus brought up concerning repent or perish, and he brings up this issue. He says, 18 people were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So it's important for us to understand we're all going to die someday, and we're all going to have to either appear before the mercy seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to tell you an interesting story. You know, we're on the radio, and I told you about Lady Gaga being named after the song Radio Gaga, where people learn from the radio. And we actually played her singing the national anthem. Well, there was a program on when I was a kid, and the program was called the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And they told this story, and it was really an interesting story. And it was about a man. He was a professor in college, and he came home one day early, and he looked, and he forgot to put out the garbage. And he had heard the garbage trucks in the neighborhood, so he quickly ran and put out the garbage. And then he decided to take a walk, and across the street from his house was a little park. And he started to walk in it when he saw this car raging down the road. And the car stopped at the trash can next to his house and threw something in it. And then they sped off. And then a few seconds later, police cars went whizzing on by. Well, what had happened was those men were bank robbers, and they had just robbed the bank, and the police were after them, so they decided to stop at the trash can and throw in the bag of money they had stolen. Well, the man, he had saw this happen, and he got curious and said, I wonder what they threw in my neighbor's trash can. So he went over, and he opened the lid, and he found a bag with $80,000 in it. And one of the things he thought about was, whoa, this could never be found out. I can keep it. And the reason he thought was, well, first of all, the garbage trucks were going to come soon. If anybody ever came to him, like the police, to question him, if he saw anything, he would say, no, I didn't. And he basically was safe because the garbage trucks could have taken the money, or perhaps the people that live next door. So you know what? He looked like he got away with a crime. Okay, but you know what happened to him after that? All kinds of bad, terrible things. His wife soon died. A lot of his friends died. And then his children actually became rebellious. You know, one of the things that's in Scripture, and it's in Numbers 32, 23, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but be sure your sin will find you out. Okay? And one of the things you see in Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, there is pleasure in sin for a season. That's why people commit the sins. Okay, but you know what? Eventually there's judgment. And this is a good story because it ended tragically for the man. And you know, getting into the monuments, do you know that worldwide hundreds of statues of Jesus, his head was cut off? And then even scenes of people praying, a little boy praying, his head was cut off. This is another senseless thing of destroying property. And one of the things I thought about when I saw these statues of Jesus' head being cut off, I thought about what Revelation 24 says. And it says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. You know, in the end times, I think Christians are going to have to actually suffer beheading. Tells us this in the book of Revelation. So one of the things I want you to be aware of is we mentioned this many times, and that's that mercy triumphs over judgment, and we have to keep that in mind. And we also have to bear one another's burdens. We have to basically be ready to die, if we have to, for Christ. Now, I happen to be involved with the civil rights movement. Now, after the Civil War, although the slaves were freed, there was really still a lot of racism in our country. And I got involved with this in the 1960s while I was in college. And one of the men I actually marched with several times was named Martin Luther King. He was a very godly man. And I remember one of the speeches he made, and I was standing there listening to it, and he said this. He said, "I look to a day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." I thought this was wonderful. And you know, one of the things that we see today is protests become violent. In fact, during the Black Lives Matter protest, there were $2 billion worth of damage done to businesses. There were fires set. There were 26 people who died. But you know what? This certainly was not what Martin Luther King wanted. In fact, he said this. He said, "Nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon, which cuts without wounding and enables the man who wields it. It is a sword that heals." So really, it's nonviolent. And we need to remember that. If we are upset with something, we need to remember exactly that. And you know, America is really divided right now, and there's a lot of hate. But you know, this man that I so respected and I marched with in two different marches, he said this, "Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out anything. Only love can do that." This is a really important thing. And he also said something. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They feel each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. You know, there's something that occurred in the Roman times, and they would build these arches. And the arches usually were used to support something, and I'm just relating it to basically the arch that was built to support a bridge. And what they did was they worked on one side, and then they worked on the other side. And then when they got to the center, they put in the keystone. That was what held both together. And so I think America needs to come together, and the keystone that can bridge that, the bridge, the left side and the right side, is the keystone of Jesus Christ. And I hope we remember that. Remember, also Martin Luther King said this, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude." We have to constantly be mindful of that. Okay, so remember we were talking about warfare, and this is something from the Lord that in Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says, "I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors." Remember, the battles that were fought during the War of 1812, the British outnumbered us and outgunned us in every battle. Yet in 20 battles, we won each one of them. And that's one of the reasons why they finally gave up and they signed a treaty, the Treaty of Ghent, and that ended the war because they didn't want to fight anymore. And also, they wanted to basically put all their attention on defeating Napoleon, who they were at war with. Now, remember, this is an important thing in Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says, "I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift." Now, I'm going to be relating periodically. A gentleman that I have a lot of respect for, his name was Aesop. And Aesop was a Greek, and he was a storyteller. And he actually put together 750 fables. He was actually doing this in 550 BC, and he was a slave. But, you know, his stories were so well thought of that his owner actually freed him. But one of the things I think we see is obvious, that all his stories were based on the scripture. Because in 550 BC, most of the Old Testament was written. And since he was a slave in a very wealthy Roman home, he probably had access to the scriptures. And so his stories were based on scriptural principles. And we're going to show you that as we go through. But remember, the race is not to the swift. Well, one of his fables where a turtle one day met a rabbit, and the rabbit was making fun of him. He said, "My, my, you move so slowly, you will never get far." And the tortoise, upset by this, he said, "Well, let's have a race," to the rabbit, "and see who's faster." Well, the rabbit laughed and said, "You must be joking. But all right, we'll see who reaches the other side of this hill first." So off he ran, leaving the turtle far behind. But after a while, the rabbit stopped to wait for the tortoise to come along. He waited and waited till he felt sleepy. And then he fell asleep and took a nap. And then after he woke up, he realized that the turtle had passed by. So when the turtle passed by and the rabbit was sleeping, she walked on slowly but steadily. And by the time the rabbit woke up, the tortoise was near the finishing line. He ran as fast as he could, but he could not catch up with the tortoise. So there's an Aesop fable, and he's basically illustrating something that's very important. The race does not always go to the swift. Just like in the Battle of the War of 1812, when the British outnumbered and outgunned America on every battle, and yet we prevailed. In fact, we prevailed at the Battle of New Orleans, which actually happened after the war had ended, but no one knew it because it took so long to have the treaty come back and people understand that the war had ended. But, you know, in that battle, there were 10,000 British against 4,000 Americans under the leadership of Andrew Jackson. And you know what happened? What happened was the British lost almost a quarter of their men. And you know how many men died on Colonel Jackson's side? Only 71. He later became president, and he became President Andrew Jackson. Well, there's another story. I'm going to relate one more about Aesop. And it was a story about a lion. Now, this lion, very powerful, was sleeping. And a little mouse happened to be walking about, and he walked across his nose, and he woke up. Well, the lion grabbed him and said, "I'm going to eat you." And he said, "Oh, please don't eat me. Someday I may be able to help you." And the lion just laughed. But he had pity and mercy. Remember, we're talking about mercy and how we should always be willing to forgive people. So he let the mouse go. Well, it wasn't long after that the lion was captured in a net and he was pinned down. And what happened was the mouse came along and he saw his predicament. And guess what he did? He took his little teeth and chewed the rope and cut it, and the lion was able to escape. And then the lion picked him up and thanked him for what he had done. So you see, sometimes we learn from little things. We learn from even children. And I'll give you an example of that. One of the things I love to do is after church on a Sunday, I would take my family, and remember, there was 5 children and my wife and me, so 7 of us, and we would hike. And one of our favorite hikes was along the Gunpowder River. And I remember we would take I would take a little backpack with me, and we'd have some snacks in there and water if we got thirsty. And I also had a little first aid kit in there. Well, we were walking. It was tranquil. It was wonderful. And all of a sudden, this loud sound of a motorcycle. This boy comes running on down. We had a rush to the side. He passed by, and from his rear tire, he kicked up dirt in our face. And I remember how angry I was with that. And I thought, wow, if I could only get him. And, you know, this was something that just I reacted to. But you know what happened? We kept walking. And then down the trail, he had crashed his motorcycle. And I was almost going to laugh and think, well, that's exactly what he deserved, when my little daughter, Bethany, said to me, "Dad, we need to help him. He's hurt." Well, that really struck me, because here was my little girl, and she was teaching me a very important lesson. Although that boy was really bothersome to us, here he was hurt, and my daughter said we need to help him. So we got our little first aid kit out. We bandaged him up, and I actually took his at the front of his bike, which the handles were bent, and straightened him for him, and off he went. And I think it's important for us to remember that. And then remember this important verse in Matthew 5:44. It says, "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." So this is an important thing. And, you know, there's something else that I think we can learn from Scripture and learn from our own little lives. In fact, have you ever thought of where you have taught your parents something, where you saw something happening and you brought it to their attention? It's important for us to do that, even small people. And if your teacher says something that doesn't agree with the Bible, you should ask them a question about it. This is important because people can learn from children. In fact, I was a teacher for 40 years, and I can tell you that I learned more from my students in their questions and how they reacted to me than I ever learned in the books that I read about teaching. So one of the things I got involved with in high school was cross-country running. I only did that for a year because it was really tough, but I sort of fell in love with it, and I ended up running 7 miles a day for the rest of my life until finally my knees gave out. But, you know, my daughter, Bethany, she was not just a long-distance runner and a cross-country runner. She actually ran marathons. And I remember her running the recent Boston Marathon, and she showed me a picture of her, and she was standing there with the medal in her hand, and then on the board next to her was a sign. It said, "Courage to start, strength to endure, and resolved to finish. And under that, she had over a dozen medals that she had won in running marathons. And one of the things, this verse about courage to start, strength to endure, and resolve to finish was actually from a lifestyle, and she bought it from what's called the Keystone Lifestyle, which recommended that we should eat healthy, drink lots of water, and we should exercise and run. And so, you know, this actually is in Scripture. In Scripture, in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Courage, be strong, and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua 1:9. So that could be a great memory verse for us. In fact, I asked you to memorize two things so far. I asked you to memorize in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And this verse here in Joshua 1:9, I want you to memorize. And I try to pick verses for you to memorize that are just no more than 10 words. And so this one is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. This is an important part of our life. Now, you know, there's lots of examples of where the underdog seems to win. Remember, it's not the victory does not always go to the strongest. Remember the British and the battles they lost, even though they outnumbered and outgunned the Americans? Well, there was a story that came out, and they had lots of sequels to it. It was called Rocky. And if you remember, if you saw any of the Rocky movies, he was a fighter, and he was an underdog, and he defeated after tying the first one, or actually losing to Apollo Creed, the next one he defeated him. And then he had another fight in Rocky III with Clubber Lang, and then another fight with Drago in Rocky IV, a Russian. Well, you know, one of the things that I remember is my parents, because they both worked, in the summertime they had a problem. What were they going to do with me? And they sent me to camps. And one of the camps that I went to was a boxing camp. And it was really great. I learned how to stand. I learned how to throw a punch. And it was really kind of a great experience for me. And the last week of the camp, each day we had a fight. And I was in a particular weight class. And the first fight I won really easily on the first day, the Monday. And then Tuesday it was another fight. But this was a little harder because the guy I was fighting had already won one himself. And then on the third day I fought another guy. And it was a little tougher, but I won. And then on the fourth day, again, I had a rough fight there, but I won. And the last day, I was fighting somebody, okay, who had already won four victories, like me. And it was a tough fight. This boy was really tough. And a couple of times, he actually hit me really hard right in my nose. And one of the things that we had a rule in, if you started to bleed, they would stop the fight. And I can remember, I could feel that warmth in my nose, and I sucked it up and swallowed it because I didn't want to have the fight stop. And then we had three rounds, and after each round, the counselor would say, "Are you ready to continue?" And I would say, "Yes." Well, in the third round, I'm sitting there, and I was kind of really worried because I thought I might even be losing the fight. And he came to me and he said, "Do you want to continue?" And I said, I thought for a minute. I said, "Yes, I'll continue." And then he asked my opponent, he said, "Do you want to continue?" And guess what he said? No, he had had enough. Well, here I thought I was losing the fight, but actually I won it. And I won the medal that went along with being the champion in my weight class in the camp for boxing. And, you know, this reminds me of something that Thomas Jefferson said. He said, "When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on." And he said that during the Revolutionary War when things were going bad for our country. And then who else picked that up? Franklin Delano Roosevelt said the same thing. "When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on." And that was done by Franklin Roosevelt right after the Pearl Harbor, when our ships were destroyed. So one of the things that we see is when you're hanging on by a thread, make sure it's the hem of Jesus' garment. So hang in there and don't be afraid, okay, and don't give up. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So one of the things we need to be aware of is we need to be, when we're overwhelmed, okay, suppose, don't let sorrow and suffering overcome you. Overwhelm your trials with the promises of Jesus. Overwhelm your sorrows by surrounding yourself with the love of Jesus, with the fact that the Maker of heaven and earth cares for you, abides in you, and will guide you. Instead of being overcome by your problems, be overwhelmed with His promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And one of the things we do at Good Samaritan Ministry, which I'm involved with, is at the beginning of a service, the leader would say this. He says, how is everybody today? And you know what our answer is always? Blessed, highly favored, and shielded. And you know, that comes right out of Scripture. In Ephesians 1, 3-8, it says, in love I am blessed, I am chosen, adopted, favored, redeemed, and forgiven. And in Psalm 91, 4, it says, he will cover us with his feathers, and his faithfulness will be like a protective shield. So we can see this is an important part of our lives that we need to remember when we're in stress, when we remember when we're being overwhelmed. Remember that we can be overwhelmed by the powers that Jesus has. Now, one of the things also is we need to be prepared. We need to prepare for many things as Christians. And I want to relate a story of this. First of all, I want to quote a Proverb 21:31. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of the battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Now, I had a really interesting experience with a horse because when I was just married and we were traveling across the country and we stopped at my wife's uncle's, and he had this big farm, and next to it his other uncle had another he had a farm too. Well, we walked up to the stables and there were horses there, and my wife said to me, you can ride, can't you? Well, I had only ridden a horse once in my life, and it was a real calm horse. They called Major, and he really went slow. Well, I said, yeah, I've ridden horses. Really, I wasn't prepared to ride a horse. But anyway, I got on this horse, and as soon as I got on, the horse took off. And I mean, it was galloping full out. And when I tried to pull the reins to slow him down, I dropped him. And he's just riding like crazy. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? He was running right alongside the road. And I thought, maybe I should just jump off. And however, there was a fence to my right, and I didn't want to jump into a fence. And then the road was on my left, and periodically a car would come by. And I must admit that I was frightened. But what ended up happening was that horse actually knew where the next farm was. And he had ran like crazy, and finally he stopped at the corral at the next house. So you know what? We have to be careful, and we have to be prepared. I was not prepared to ride a horse, but we need to be prepared. And there's a great example in another Aesop's fable. It's called The Ant and the Grasshopper. And I want to relate that to you. Remember I told you about Aesop and all his fables? He wrote 750 of them, and he actually wrote them in about 550 B.C., and he had a great example of a lot of stories to tell, 750 different ones. And so I want to tell you a story about the ant and the grasshopper. In a field one summer's day, a grasshopper was chirping and singing, hopping about for fun. And the ant passed by carrying an ear of corn back to his nest. Why not come and chat with me, said the grasshopper, instead of doing all that work. I am really storing up food for the winter, said the ant. I suggest you do the same. Why bother about winter, said the grasshopper. We've got plenty of food at the moment. The ant went on in his way and continued to work. When winter came, however, the grasshopper had no food and was dying of hunger. The ant, however, had plenty of food to last all through the winter from his hard work in the summer. Then the grasshopper knew it is best to be prepared. So being prepared is an important part of our life. And we'll get into more being prepared, but I'll end with this. Galatians 6:7, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation.